have with me John Sunmez. John Sunmez. He's the founder of He's the founder of Bulldog Mindset. Bulldog Mindset, which is a channel where John teaches financial independence, health and fitness, and how to be a man. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jesse. Glad to be here.
I appreciate you coming on, man. And so I read and saw where you're teaching financial independence and fitness and how to be a man. What got you started? What made you decide to do this?
Yeah, so, you know, I started out as a software developer. I was very much, you know, I felt like I was an older boy, but not a man as I grew up. And I was very kind of shy, very different than I am now. Not athletic at all. Very nerdy, very beta, as you would call it.
Beta male.
That's right. and you know, I started getting into personal development, and I started learning a lot of things. I started pushing myself physically, and I started to realize that I could actually change and transform myself, and I could become what I wanted to become, like the vision I had in my mind that I thought was just for other people. And as I change and transform myself, I realized that there's a whole generation of young boys, you know, that and even guys that are of age that they should be men, that they haven't actually learned this stuff. They haven't learned how to become a man. They haven't learned the right.
John, hold on for a minute. For some reason, your volume is not coming across well. Let me see what we can do about it.
Okay.
You know what the problem is? Is it on our end or his?
It's a connection? Yeah, with his mic and everything. That's just the best it's
going
to do for now. Unless we try to hang up and call
him back. Do what? Oh, it could be Skype and it'll fix itself? Oh, okay. All right, John, they said me.
Oh, you know what?
Here we go. I think it was my side. How's
oh,
that?
That's much better, John.
I had the wrong mic in there. So, all right.
And so you did this because you didn't feel like a man at the time. And so do you feel like a man now?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
What is the feeling of a man?
I would say that it is making your own decisions, not relying on other people and their judgments, being able to set your own direction and purpose, knowing what your purpose is in the world, and ignoring what other people think you should be doing or if they even care about what you're doing, and just doing what you know is right, making your choices in life and stepping forward into that.
And so how would you rate your life now? How would you rate it? From 1 to 10, 10 being best.
I would give it a 10.
Really?
Yeah.
And what make it a 10?
You know, I don't think it's anything like money. I don't think it's anything that, you know, the things that we think of as success. But I think it's more of the idea that I know what I want to do in life, and I am seeking after fulfillment, and my fulfillment comes from accomplishing my goals, waking up every morning and knowing that it's reset, that everything I've done, it doesn't matter. It only matters what I do for today. And that's what's made my life so much better. It's just coming to that realization that the race is never over. It's never going to end. You're always going to be pushing. You're always going to be driving. And I think once you come to that realization, you stop trying to wait for some point in the future where you'll be happy.
Yeah.
You can start being happy now. So
amazing. And are you Hispanic? Are you Hispanic?
No, I'm actually half Turkish and half Italian.
Oh, that's amazing. Italians, are they white people?
Yeah, you know, I consider myself white. You know, I don't really even – to me, it's like – you know, with 23andMe and all the DNA tests and everything, everyone is like so it doesn't even matter anymore. Like, you know, so.
That's right. John, were you raised by your father and mother?
Yes, yes.
And were you close to your mother or your father?
I would say, yeah, I don't know. I guess growing up, I was closer to my mother. Now I'm closer to my father.
And what made the change?
I think making that transition to being a man. Actually, you know what it really was there was a point where as an adult, I got to the point where I really stopped caring about my father's approval. And we had a very big falling out where I wasn't going to be guilted anymore. I wasn't going to allow anyone to put expectations on me. I wasn't going to put expectations on anyone. And, you know, I wasn't just going to do things, quote, for the family. And after that, we became closer. And I think a lot of it had to do with, you know, us both recognizing each other as men, as willing to go our own ways and not, you know, it changed the relationship dynamic. So
when you say his approval at the time, what did he want from you?
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure if it's really specific things. I think just this general sense, and I feel like a lot of boys and young men today have that same sense of just seeking their father's approval in general, right?
Yeah.
The idea of like, I can't do anything. I have to see if I have to get approval for this thing instead of making their own path. And that's what, you know, I realized that was ingrained in me.
Did you forgive your mother for turning you away from him?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Did you tell her that?
I've told her I'm trying to think if I've said it in those exact words. Probably not in those exact words.
And why not? Because the reason you felt that way about your father, your mother turned you away from him, you may not have realized it was happening, and she played victim and made you identify with her, and that's probably why you had the issue with your father, because she turned you away from him.
Interesting. Yeah, that I can see that for sure.
And you need to go to her. I mean, do what you want, but I would recommend you go to her and tell her that you forgive her for turning you away from your father, because most women hate men. They hate them. Mm-hmm. You know, their mother hated their father, so it would pass down to them. And they treat their kids in the same way that their mother treated them. And kids think that they hate their fathers when they really hate the mother who have turned them away from their father. And they think they love the mother, but they don't. It's the resentment they feel, and anger feel like love, but it's really not love.
Yeah, I can see that.
Just spoke on it, and I think it will really fulfill that void that you had or have, and you really know what a man is. So I would recommend that you deal with your mother.
Yeah. I definitely have no issues with her. I really don't have any issues with anyone. I don't have any. I really don't harbor any bitterness.
Well, let her know that, you know, you forgive her for turning you away. So, John, what do you think about the shooting that happened in Texas and Ohio? Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. I just did a video on this just yesterday, and what it came down to, what I think and is the key problem, is what we said at the beginning of this, which is that boys aren't learning to become men.
Yeah,
I believe that someone who had a stoic mindset would not be capable of this. That the only way that you could possibly do something like this is to have the victim mindset. You have to have a victim mindset. If we teach boys, if we teach men, if we stop emasculating men and we teach them to be more stoic, if we teach them masculinity, if we teach them to get rid of the victim mindset and take responsibility for their lives and reactions, and to not feel like everything, like they can't take a punch, that they can't take a bad thing that happens in their life. That it, you know, if they're so emotional, if we teach them to not do that, to actually act like men, this isn't going to happen.
That's
the only solution. You know, the bullying, the media says, oh, it's the bullying. The problem is you can't stop people from being bullies, right? And honestly, you know, if I had a son, I'd rather have my son be a bully than be bullied.
That's right. Absolutely,
because,
man.
Because the bully doesn't shoot up the place. Right. He may be a jerk. He may have some issues to work out, but at least he's, you know, men are always going to be violent. There's always going to be aggression and violence in men. And if you as a society suppress that, if you don't let it come out in the natural way, what will happen is that young boy, he's suppressed. He's finally going to explode because it is of his nature to be aggressive and to have that violence in him. And that's where we have these problems.
And you can disagree with me on this if you like. I have realized that men are not naturally violent. The violence of a man is that of a woman, because when these boys are raised by their mothers, even if the father in the home, their mother imposes herself on them. She does it to the girls and the boys and the girls. And these boys, when they're growing up, they resent the mother for doing that. And you become like whomever you're angry at. You take on their personality. And so the violence that you see in a male is that of a woman. Mm-hmm. But it's hard for women to be honest. Women will not tell the truth about themselves. They're blaming on the father. They're blaming on the cat. They're blaming on the dog. They're blaming on the grass. They're blaming on the house. But they will not take responsibility to blame themselves for being wrong. And so these kids, they grow up angry at the mothers because, and so they have that personality. And so in a man, it comes out in a violent way because it's abnormal for men to have anger.
That makes sense. I would agree with you 100% that anger is weakness. Anger is not a masculine trait. It often gets associated with masculinity, but it's a feminine trait. Anger is feminine. But I would say maybe what's more correct, instead of me saying that men are inherently violent, is that they inherently have the capability of violence, right? That's or they have aggressiveness. They have the capability of violence, because I was just talking to someone the other day, and they're like, well, you know, how can I, you know, how can I like exert myself or, you know, assert myself as a man and be dominant if I'm not angry? And my answer was, you can break someone's neck as calm as a cucumber. Like, it doesn't like,
that's right.
Like, in fact, that's more scary. That's a lot more scary. If you watch a movie,
absolutely,
the guy's calm and he's violent. That's because he's calculated, right? Whereas if you're angry, you seem it's a more feminine trait for sure.
Absolutely. Every man that has anger is a woman. You mentioned online that you can't blame them, referring to the shooters. What did you mean by that?
I think what I mean by that is that, well, there's a couple of things. One is that pretty much anyone in that circumstances, right? To look at kind of a Dale Carnegie perspective of it. If you had their upbringing, if you had their genetics, if you had their circumstances, you would do the same exact thing, right? Yeah. So from that perspective, you know, casting judgment doesn't make any sense on anyone really. But also just, you know, this is the byproduct of the society that we live in. If we continue to emasculate men, if we continue with the kind of feminist agenda, and we don't, you know, we don't actually value men, if they don't have a place in society, if they feel like they're rejected by society, by women, by all these things, we don't show them how to actually make a place and find a purpose in their life. This is the inevitable outcome. It has nothing to do with a religious ideology or any of those things. When you're in that place where you have nothing and you have no purpose, you will cling to any extreme ideology that will give you some kind of meaning in your life. And so in some, you know, obviously everyone's responsible for their own actions. So I don't mean that, you know, that they're victims. I don't, you know, mean that at all. But in a sense, like, this is the outcome of what we've put into of our inputs, basically.
What are your thoughts on sex out of wedlock?
Yeah, you know, I think that's a complicated issue. I was very much opposed to it. I feel like it definitely does more harm than good, for sure.
Yeah.
But I also try to not take a moralistic judgment on things, especially when I'm talking like on my YouTube channel. Instead, I appeal to what is in your best interest, right? And I think most of the time it aligns morally anyway, right? Is you know, right. The reasons why it doesn't make sense to a lot of times like abuse drugs or alcohol is because it will financially impact you. It will impact your self-esteem, your life. It'll be a crutch for you, right? Those things. And I think the same thing I would apply to sex out of wedlock as well. It's the same thing. Is it going to harm you as a person? Is it going to make it so that your life is more difficult? It's harder for you to establish the relationships that you want? Is it going to waste a lot of time in your life and cause extra drama? Probably.
Yeah. I tell men not to have sex until they're married, because women are sex dealers and men are sex addicts. And the moment out of wedlock, when you have sex with that woman, she now controls you. You know, you lose consciousness, and sex becomes so important to you. And that woman tends to use that to control you. And so and you fall into a sense of darkness, and you don't really see the person that you're dating. The woman doesn't see the man as he is, and he doesn't see her. And then when you move in, you shouldn't move in without being married anyway. But when you move in, all hell breaks loose because you're doing it in the wrong way. You should date, get to know each other, And in about 7 years, they get married and start a family. Mm. What do you think of that?
I think it makes sense. The only thing I would say about that is with the way that I'm definitely not in the MGTOW group. I feel like the MGTOW are a bunch of whiners and whatnot. But
deal with women. You shouldn't run away from them.
Exactly.
Just don't accept the drug from them until you get married.
Yeah. I do feel, though, that the one thing that they do have correct is the current situation from a legal standpoint.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's much more difficult for a man today to navigate the landmines of trying to date and marry a woman, you know, to commit to that, because he's putting himself in a much more precarious position than she is with that legal contract. So
yeah.
That's the only thing that, like, I'm on the fence on this issue, because it's hard for me to recommend that to most guys that will put themselves into a very bad situation getting married. It's almost like you need to have enough experience in the field. Doesn't mean that you have to have premarital sex, but you need to have enough experience to make a correct evaluation. And you need to actually have the skills to be able to attract women and to have dated multiple women so that you can actually make an evaluation based on something more than just sex and looks.
Yeah. I suggest that, especially millennial men, they need to wear, you know how the police wear those body cams now?
Oh, yeah.
So when you go on a date, they need to put on a body cam.
Yeah, exactly.
What is your thoughts on the Great White Hope?
Oh, yes. I'm a big Trump supporter.
Right, you know, on. White Hope.
Yeah. He's done. I mean, it's amazing. He's done so many good things for us. Don't get me wrong. I'm not a person who subscribes, who just worships any ideology, any person. I don't prop anyone up. There's definitely things I disagree with Trump on. There's he's not perfect. He's a human being. But
what's the one thing you disagree with him about?
What do I disagree? Oh, here's one thing I disagree with him about. He called out. Who was it? He was calling out someone on using a tax loophole, which is the self-employment where you create an S-corp and then you pay yourself through that S-corp so that you can avoid self-employment tax, which everyone does.
Yeah,
you
do.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just, when I saw that, I was like, that was just an example of something I didn't agree with. I was like, okay, yeah, you really shouldn't say that, because you're doing it, I'm doing it, we're all doing it, and there's nothing wrong with it.
Okay.
It's designed that way. So, but I mean, for most of the, you know, major political issues, economic issues, I agree with him. And you know, it doesn't matter if I agree with him, the proof is in the pudding, right?
Yeah.
Look what's happening. Look at the unemployment rate, especially the black unemployment rate, the lowest it's ever been.
Yeah.
Look at our economy, the stock market, right? Look at all of the things, the GDP growing, right? Finally, we're getting respect from the world, right?
Yeah.
People are saying we're making enemies in the rest of the world, but we're getting respect.
That's right. That's right.
Now they know they can't mess with us. So, I mean, this is, to me, I think when we look back historically, he's going to be, you know, one of the greatest presidents ever. So,
absolutely. I totally agree. And so, are you having sex out of wedlock?
No.
Oh, good. And you stopped because of what you realized about it?
No, I mean, yeah, pretty much. Like, yeah.
Why did you stop?
I really don't want to get into this one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I get some weird people from my channel that, yeah, I don't like them to know anything personally about me, like at that level, because I get weird stalker type of people because of some of the things I say. But
I know what you mean. Yep. There is, I don't know if you agree with this, but there is a major attack among white people, especially white men. White people are the most hated species on this side of heaven. I don't understand it. I do understand why it happened, but we all know that white Americans founded and built the greatest country on this side of heaven, and then they allowed the people of color to come in, and the people of color are coming in and attacking the people who allow them into their home. why do the people of color hate white people so much, and why don't white people stand up and speak out and deal with this?
Yeah, that's a really good question. You know, I agree with you that is what's happening today in society, and it's a shame. I think the thing is, like, I don't know, we were talking earlier, we're so mixed anyway. It doesn't, you know, for the most part, like, it doesn't even matter. Like, what is white? White is an arbitrary, like, term that someone said, okay, you know, some people from this region. Like, I always question, like, am I white? If I stay out of the sun for a while, I'll look much more white. But most people would say that I'm Hispanic or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, just like, so I don't know, but I identify, I suppose, with being white. But I think it's more of the ideology that is in opposition here. And it's unfortunate. I would say also, you know, just that it comes from that same stem of a lot of the problems that we have, which is the victim mindset, right? Which is, if you have problems in your life and you're not where you want to be, there must be someone else oppressing you. There must be some other reason other than yourself why you're not achieving what you want. And it's easy to go and blame the white male for that, for being the oppression, right? Because otherwise you'd have to say, well, it's me, it's my responsibility. I didn't make the most of myself. And so, you know, and I think also what compounds this is that white men aren't standing up.
Right.
They're not taking a stand. They're not saying, I'm not going to allow you to denigrate me like this. You know, I just saw a Facebook thread where someone had posted something about her story of some guy mansplaining. And in that thread, there were 14, 15 guys that were apologizing on behalf of other men. And I replied to the
thread.
I was like, screw you guys. I'm not going to apologize for shit. Like, what are you apologizing for? There's not even a such thing as mansplaining. That's a made up term.
Right.
It doesn't mean anything. Like, don't apologize for this. Don't apologize for other men. I don't accept your apology on my behalf. Screw you.
Any man apologizes.
Standing up.
Yeah. Any man that apologizes is a woman, a beta male. Yeah. And so are you afraid to be white? I noticed that white people today are afraid, and not all, but most, are afraid to be white. Everybody else can be black, you can be Mexican, you can be Japanese, you can be Chinese, you can be half-breed, but white people seem to be afraid to be white.
Yeah, I agree with you that's I'm not afraid. I don't care. I mean, like I said, it doesn't even cross my mind. I don't even think about what am I. I don't think about it when I think about people in general. I mean, I know a lot of people say that, but honestly, it's like, I hate any kind of label or classification. And when I think about it logically, it's so stupid to make. And I mean, who drew the lines? I don't even understand. Like, you know, what I mean, it doesn't even make any sense to me. So
when I was in a fallen state, I used to be in terms of blackness, the black thing, into my blackness. But once I forgave, overcame the anger and came out of that fallen state, I don't think about being black. It's so unnecessary. It's
right.
So useless and a waste of time to even focus on being a color. It doesn't even matter, really.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Have you heard of an incel? You heard of the incels?
Oh, yeah.
And what do you think of the incels?
Wow, it's a really, okay, it's a very dangerous thing, actually. All right, a lot of, again, to tie it back to the mass shootings, this is a place where this ideology is being bred and being encouraged. So you have all these guys that they're not really incel. They're not really involuntarily solo. They don't have to be. They think that the only thing that matters, and they're preaching this philosophy, this ideology, that the only thing that matters is looks. The only thing that matters as a man is looks. And if you don't have it, if you're not an 8 or a 9, then you're screwed. You're never going to get a woman. And there's nothing that you can do about it. And so it's a defeatist ideology. So these guys, they're not improving themselves. They're not going to the gym. They're not, you know, doing anything to improve. They're not learning social skills. They're not going out there and trying.
Yeah.
Okay. And instead, they're accepting nihilism. with nihilism, which is horrible, because once you accept nihilism, then you can dehumanize the rest of the world and you can just do whatever. There's no consequence. There's no right or wrong, and you're justified in your actions. And so it's a very, very dangerous. It seems like, you know, these guys, ha, it's funny to make fun of them, but it's very, very dangerous because this is growing. And the really sad thing, the worst thing about it, is that a bunch of young boys, like 14, 15, 16 year old, they're getting on the internet, they're getting on YouTube, they're going on whatever, 4chan or whatever, and they're identifying with these incel groups before they've even had a chance at life. They haven't even blossomed. They haven't even been in their 20s. I understand a guy that's in his 40s that's never gotten laid or never had a date that might think he's an incel. I understand that. But if you're a 15 year old boy and you haven't even had experience in the world, you can't say that you're an incel. Let's not even, you know, it's dangerous. It's no good. And it's a victim mindset, 100%.
At first I wasn't aware of incels, but my producer brought a couple of them on my TV show, thefallenstate.tv. And I interview incels. That's how I first became aware of them. I thought it was very interesting that I didn't know it was a worldwide thing. It's not just in the United States. It's around the world that these people are meeting, they're talking to each other on the internet and all that kind of stuff. It's a crazy way to live, but I understand how they got that way, and they can overcome it if they try. As you just said, they have to get out, at least try.
Yeah. I should show you some of my before pictures. Oh, my gosh. Like, you would have classified me as, I mean, anyone would have said, oh, this guy's an incel. But, you know, you can overcome. You can learn and even if you couldn't, even this is my biggest argument to them. It's like, even if you're never going to have a chance, no woman is ever going to date you or whatever, you know, you're going to be involved. You should still, I'm going down trying. I'm going to go down in so many flames. I'm going to like give it, you know what I mean? This is my life. I'm going to give it my best. Like, let's go out there and see what we can do. And if we fail, then hey, at least I can rest at night knowing I gave him my best, right? You know
that's
what I mean?
Right. The incel is like a club now. It's like it's like something they're proud of almost.
Yeah.
What is the bulldog mindset, John?
The simplest way to describe it is it's the exact opposite of the victim mindset. It is rooted in Stoic philosophy, the idea that we are responsible for ourselves. It's taking ownership of yourself. It's going tenaciously and attacking the things that you want in life and having a purpose and going after that purpose and not letting anything stop you. That's the bulldog mindset.
Joel, you know what it means to get laid?
Yeah.
You do? You know what it means?
I've heard that term plenty of times. That's a youthful term.
But you know what it means?
Laid?
I bet you do. John, how can people... Oh, somebody want to know how old are you, John?
I'm 39.
Okay, he's 39, folks. John, how can people listen to your show and get involved?
So actually, the best thing to do is to go to bulldogmindset.com. And I've actually got a bulldog mindset quiz on there that will tell you if you have the bulldog mindset. It'll rate you from like Chihuahua to like a master bulldog. And from there, you can find my YouTube and everything and all my life philosophy in there. So,
is it easy for a person to become financial independent?
It is. The methodology is easy. The implementation is difficult. Right. I think it's not that complicated if you're willing to put in the work. Right. There's no magical formula to that is super complicated. But most people will not put in the work required to do it. And also the mainstream idea of, you know, get good grades, go to college, put your money in your 401k and save until you're 65. That's if you follow that, then you're not going to become financially independent ever.
Amazing. John, thank you so much for coming on. I enjoy that, man.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesse.
And hopefully we'll have you back.
Yeah.
I wish you well, John. Good to meet you.
Thank you. Good to meet you, too.
By the way, my audio engineer is Joel. Is he able to see you?
No, he can't see me.
Oh, okay. But... And Joel, he black. And he's been working on his chest lately.
It's not quite like yours yet, but I'm working on it.
He's been walking around trying to... prove something, right? And now, after seeing you, I think he's going to hide it.
Right.
Thank you, John. I wish you well, buddy.
All right. Take care, Jesse.
All right, buddy. Amazing. John Summers. Check him out, folks. Amazing.